come into my glory. Come into my presence. For the things that are around you are fading away, and they're fading even quicker than you can imagine. For there is my glory that is beginning to be poured out in the earth as it has never been poured out before. Even the prophets, Abraham, saw the day of my son, and they rejoiced in it. But Jesus saw the day that you're living in, and he rejoiced in it. The day of my power, the day of my presence. For I shall be revealed to all flesh, not in just one place, not in just one situation, but throughout all the earth they shall know me, says God. And they shall come to a point of whether they receive me or reject me, but they shall know me. For there is the day that no man shall say, but I didn't understand. For I will make it clear, as I wrote on the tablets of clay my law, so that all men would know. So I am writing on the tablets of their heart, that all men may know and be without excuse. For I am coming, says God. With all my glory, I am coming. And I am coming in power to redeem those who call upon me. So enter into my glory. Let the things of the world go. Separate yourself from them. And let my glory fill you and consume you. For then you shall show forth of my glory. In this day, in this age, in your situation, and people will know that you have been with me, says God. Don't back away. Don't back away. Don't say, oh, this is too much. Oh, it shall be as natural to you as breathing. For it is my life being manifested in you. It is me showing myself through you. You won't have to work. You won't have to strain. But if you spend time seeking after my glory, if you spend time in my word, if you spend time in my presence, says God, these things shall flow out of you as water flows out of a spring. And you will not be able to turn it off, but you will be able to direct it where I will it to go, says the Lord.
I just have this impression that if you won't tire of worshiping, that you can touch. You can touch the glory. You can touch the glory. But it's very heavy, and we could touch it. If you choose, you can touch it. You can touch the glory. The glory will change. It will change who you are. Don't be afraid of the glory. Don't be afraid of the power. That power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you.
Yes.
And is in you. And that power is here, so you can walk in and out of that power. You can touch that glory and you will be changed. You can touch that glory and you will see the face of God. You can touch that glory.
Yes.
If you choose.
Yes.
If you choose.
Oh, hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? I praise God. We never know what God's going to do on Sunday mornings, and we pray before services. We pray during the week, God, your will be done, not ours. And we want to give him place. So just because you don't get preaching on a Sunday doesn't mean we haven't had church. Amen. It's good to be in the presence of God. It's good to see things. You know, we're having church tonight at 6 o'clock, and we call it Answers Night because we're trying to answer questions that people have, and we've gotten into some real interesting discussions. I always come with something planned, and we haven't got into that for a month because we've had people just asking questions and things. But this morning, Roxanne started talking about the river, and I was kind of teasing her. I splashed with my foot, but I saw the water when I splashed with my foot. God is doing something in this church, and he's answering questions, even in a lot of the prayers. A lot of things were happening. A lot of different people are going through different situations, have different needs, but God's meeting them, and it's not because I have foreknowledge of what's going on. We had several words of the Lord and different things like that during the ministry, but I knew when I prayed for you, it's like I knew the power of God was all over, and I called up John because I know she's going down. I'm trying not to release too much until he got up there. But when people fall down, it's just the anointing of God that overcomes your flesh. It's a soothing thing usually. Some people resist it and it makes it a little bit harder, but it's just a soothing thing of being in that presence of God. Years ago when we started having that happen, I still didn't really understand it. I just knew that people went under the power of the Holy Spirit. It's always fun to watch them go. But I remember one time I was praying for a man, and boy, the anointing was on me, and I could feel it coming out of my hands, and the anointing was so strong. And I'm looking for him to go down because I want to watch it, and he didn't. So finally, I moved over to his wife, and I started praying for his wife, and I'm still watching him because I'm expecting him to go down. And I turned back at her, and she's gone. That you don't know, you don't have to fall down, you know, you don't, but sometimes it's just the presence of God becomes so strong that you just want to yield. Woody said there is an anointing to stand. Sometimes the prayer and the anointing that is coming into you is not an anointing to fall down, but sometimes God puts us into that comfort zone. And so we go down in the comfort, and it's a power release of God when he's doing some things on the inside of us. But sometimes you stand up, and because God's given you an anointing to stand, to not just compromise, to not just yield to everything that comes along. So there's all kinds of anointing. Some people fall down, some people don't, some people shake, some people don't, some people laugh, some people cry. And it's all depending on their circumstance and how God is moving on them, but it's God. And that's the thing to remember. It's God. It's not what he does. It's not how he does it. It's just knowing that God is in the room to meet our needs. And that's a glorious thing. That God would visit us. You know, I ask God sometimes. We've been here for 30 years. We celebrate our 30th anniversary. It's like, man, we've had high points and we've had low points. But God has been faithful in all of it. He has been faithful. And I think I've shared this with you, but one Sunday several months ago, I said, Lord, how long are you going to keep doing this? And his answer just haunts me almost. I'll do it as long as you let me. A friend of mine years ago, he was hunting and seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit the same time that Debbie and I were. And we were all excited, and we were talking about the scriptures we were finding and everything like that. Debbie and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We were so excited. We were speaking in tongues. We were so excited. We went to him and says, we've received the baptism with tongues. And he goes, that's nice. So, excuse me? What do you mean that's nice? You were hungry for this just a week ago. He says, well, if that's what you need. I'm thinking, need. The reason we sought the baptism of the Holy Spirit was not because we felt there was a need. But as we begin to study, we found in the Word, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And everywhere the Holy Spirit was, there was the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And so we told God, I said, we don't know anything about this. We've never been taught anything. We've never been raised in it. We didn't even know anybody at that. Well, I think we might have known one person that was baptized in the Spirit, but we weren't close. It was just somebody Debbie worked with. And so we don't have a clue what this thing is. It was still a thing to us then instead of a person. And we said, but obviously you feel like it's important that we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So because you think it's important we ask you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because God thinks it's important. Not because I think it's important, but because God thinks it's important. And I'm telling you, it radicalized our lives. It changed us from our foundation of faith. It changed us because suddenly God became personal. Not a book, not something, someone who is far distant from us at one of these days in the great by and by. No, God became a present reality like never before. And it's that presence God wants us to have. He wants that in his church. We are to gather together to worship the power of the resurrection. What does that mean? To celebrate Jesus coming alive from the dead. And the Bible says we are raised to life by the same power, the same glory that raised Jesus from the dead. Well, how do we do that? We celebrate it by experiencing it. Not by just talking about, but by the experience of being raised from the dead. Romans 8 is one of my favorite chapters. Of course, they're all favorite when I'm studying them at the time. But Romans chapter 8, he says, the Holy Spirit will quicken your mortal flesh. Quicken. Make alive. Make alive. Even the things that you think are dead, God can make those things alive in us again. And that's what Sundays ought to be about. That we come together, that the Holy Spirit can quicken us. If I'm tired, he can quicken me. If I'm bored with life, he can quicken me. If I'm sick in my body, he can quicken my body. If I'm depressed, he can quicken me. But this is what Sundays ought to be about. And praise and worship is getting us into that flow of the Lord to where God can come in and he can start quickening us in all the areas where maybe we've given up, maybe we've quit. Maybe we're just tired. Maybe we're just at that point in our life, I don't know which way to go next. And God says, if you come to me, I'll quicken you. If you come to me, I'll stir up those things that have laid dormant for so many years. I'll stir them up. Because a lot of our dreams, a lot of our visions are God. They really are. But we don't know it's God. We think it's just us. And so we're willing to lay them aside. And it's knowing what is of us and what is of God. And going with what's of God. Amen. But that's what we want to do. And that's what God was doing this morning with all the prayer. He is quickening our mortal bodies to stir us up that we might have the life of Christ manifested in us. Manifested, made real, made alive on the inside of us. That's what should separate Christians from everybody else in the world. They can talk about God. We know him. We can know him. Jesus said, John 17:3, he said, this is eternal life, that you may know the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ. That you may know him. This is the mark of being a Christian. It's not our doctrine. And I believe in right doctrine. If you know me, I'm a firm believer in right doctrine. But that is not what makes us unique, because all the world has different doctrine. Even in Christian churches, there's different doctrine for each denomination. What sets us apart is not our doctrine. It's the fact that we can know God. And God wants you to know him. He is not withholding from us. He says, ask. Ask and you receive. But if we seek him, he said, we'll find him. So it's up to us. We've got to ask, we've got to seek, we've got to knock, we've got to do all those things. But if we will, God will answer us. Amen. He will reveal himself to us. And this is part of what all this is up here. He's revealing himself to us in new ways, in new dimensions, and in different patterns and different ways. But God is revealing himself in us, quickening us through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, I just want to thank you for what you've done. I thank you, Father, for hearts that are willing and open to you to come to you and ask for help in a time of need. Because, Lord, you said you are a present help in time of our need. You are one who is with us, who will never leave us, never forsake us, never abandon us, never turn your back on us, never walk away from us. But God, you will stick with us through thick and thin. Because Jesus died on the cross for our sin. He was made to be sin that we might be made the righteousness of Christ in him. Lord, for after you do that, you wouldn't just walk away from us. You wouldn't casually toss us away, not after you died for us, that we would have life. But Lord, by an act of our will, we come to you. By an act of our will, Father, we open our hearts to you. By an act of our will, God, we choose to believe and to trust in Jesus and in the power of his resurrection, that you might fill us and move into us and live among us. For this life, this born-again experience, Father, we thank you that your love and your grace has made it available for us. We thank you for your love, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.